I want to first thank everybody for responding to my email, my request to add learning on behalf of Phil. It's nice to have the band all back together again, and I wish we could learn in person, but these recordings and shared learning will have to do. I pray that our learning serve as a merit for Rav Gavriel Pinchas ben Dvoriz Lata. I pray that Hashem send refuah shlema bekarov. And I thought initially that I was going to be saying the shiurim and that I would do a series of shiurim on the Shir HaMalos. My mind immediately went to tefillah. And so I thought I would do a series of shiurim on the Shir HaMalos. I figured it would take me about 3 months because there's 15 of them. But I want to thank Aaron Liebtag and Naftali Lavenda for helping me to spread the idea. People have been signing up to say the shiurim. And so I'll say this first one on Tehillim Kuf Chaf. And if I have to say more, then I'll fill in the rest of the Shir HaMalos. But thank you, everybody who's been signing up to say the Shiurim. It looks like we're going to have much better Magidi Shiur than me. And so thank you very much, everybody. We'll learn together. Tehillim Kuf Chaf. David Melech writes, Shir HaMalos, El Adonai Batzaras Eli Karasi Vayaneini. It's amazing, by the way, to do what David Melech writes in the book of Tehillim. Really, we could have wrote this week and would have been simply as apt. David Melech writes, Shir HaMalos. So first, this phrase, Shir HaMalos, is one that we're familiar with because we say these paragraphs of Tehillim very often, but exactly what the phrase means is not really so certain. So for example, the Meiri writes that Shir HaMalos is talking about, a song of ascent. Meiri writes it's talking about an ascent in volume, interestingly enough. Meiri says that as they used to recite these paragraphs of Tehillim, they would say them together in a series, and they would start lower and get louder. You know, sort of like the Chazan when he recites the Kol Nidre on Leil Yom Kippur. So the first time he says the Kol Nidre, he says it lower, and he gets progressively louder as he moves through it. Similarly, the Meiri says in the recitation of the Shir HaMalos, so the leader, whoever was saying them, would start his voice lower, and then he would get louder. Interesting. So Shir HaMalos means the ascent of the voice of the person who was saying it. He would start lower and then get louder. Really interesting, Meiri. Rashi writes, I think what I always understood, Rashi writes, the way I learned a while ago, that this was to be said, these Tehillim were said by the Levian on the steps in the Beit HaMikdash. There were steps that went from the Ezas Noshim to the Ezas Yisrael, and there were 15 steps, and the Levim will recite one of these paragraphs on each of the steps. So that Shir HaMalos means a song of the steps, a song that the Levim said on the steps. If you look in the Radak writes something interesting. The Radak writes that these paragraphs are all about the Jews in the Golos. Radak writes, Yesh lefaresh ki perish ma'alos ha'golos sh'asidim Yisrael la'alos l'eretz Yisrael. These are songs of Aliyah. Songs of Aliyah from the Golus to Eretz Yisrael. So that these Perakim Radak says are all about being in Golus and hoping for Geula, God's promise of bringing the Geula, and these are all Perakim of Tehillim that are centered around the attempt to raise oneself up, to bring us up out of the Golus, back to Eretz Yisrael. Ibn Ezra writes, if you look similarly to Radak, that the Shir HaMa'alot were written by Ruach HaKodesh, that the Jews in Golos will call out to Hashem from their tzara with these paragraphs. Similar to Radak, that the Shir HaMa'alot means the song of ascent, means the song of Aliyah, from Golos in the Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael with the Geula. Rabbi Hirsch writes something very interesting, similar to the Radak and the Ibn Ezra, but not on the national level of Aliyah from Golos to Eretz Yisrael, but on the individual level, that these are prakim of ascent to pick up a person who has fallen to personal depths, a person who feels low and down about oneself. He says these paragraphs of Tehillim, Shir HaMa'alos, a song of ascent to pick oneself up, to gather strength and energy, so that really what the Shir HaMa'alos, what this phrase means, what these songs are all about, you have a very significant range amongst the Rishonim. Meiri writes that it's about one's vocalization. Rashi, about the location in which they're said. Radak and Ibn Ezra, about the national ascent of the Jewish people from the Golos to Eretz Yisrael and Geula. And Rabbi Hirsch, about the individual raising oneself up from the depths and from the darkness. Shir HaMa'alos, David HaMelech writes, El Adonai Batzoros Ali Karasi Vayaneni. That to God, Batsarasali, if you look in Radak, Radak writes that Batsarasa, right, means Lirov Tsara. It means out of an extreme sense of anguish and trouble. Batsarasali Karati Vayaneni. I call out to God, Batsarasali, because of my extreme sense of anguish. And if you look in Malbim, Malbim writes something different. Malbim writes that Batsarasali Bakol Tsara. Malbim writes. I think there's a significant difference between Lerov Tsara and Bakol Tsara. It's just interesting to think about it. At what point does David HaMelech say that he calls out to God with this mode of tefillah? If you look in Radak, he says, Lerov Tsara, when I am tremendously embittered, when I have so much Tsara, David HaMelech says that I call out to God. If you look in Malbim, he says something different. Malbim says, Bakol Tsara, whenever I have trouble, whenever I have difficulties, I turn to Hashem and I call out to him. It's interesting. You see, according to Malbim, David HaMelech seems to be contrasting that according to Radak, he seems to be contrasting that in different types of tsaras, he would call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to in Malbim, where he writes that in all kinds of troubles, he called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought it was interesting, you know, if you look, for example, in Rabbi Pinkus' Sha'arim Batfila, at the end of the chapter of Bitzur, it's in Os Zion. So Rabbi Pinkus there writes, based on Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Dalet, something that the Chafetz Chaim writes, and Avas Chesed, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, Liolam Yachdim Adam Tefila Letzara, that a person should always Yachdim Tefila Letzara, you should make his Tefila before the Tzara. And Rabbi Pinkus writes that he believes this is Segula Mikola Segulos, we love Segulos in our world. Everybody's looking for a good segula. So here's a good segula. Rabbi Pinkus writes, you know, why does God bring tzara? I mean, seriously, really, like, why? Why does the world need to have so much tzara? So we don't always know the answers. We don't very often don't know the answers. One approach, is that God brings tzara so that we will respond to tzara. Because God wants to hear our tefillos. So God made the Avos have difficulties having children because God wanted them to daven. God wanted them to pray. Rav Pinkus suggests that what the Gemara is saying, Sanhedrin Mem Dalet Liolam Yachdim Adam Tefila Letzara, Rav Elazar is teaching that if I just start praying, if I am always praying before the tzara even comes, so then God doesn't have to bring the tzara. If the purpose of the tzara is to elicit our tefillos, and I am constantly involved in real, heartfelt, meaningful tefila, if I'm always turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even before the tzara comes, so then I can stave off the tzara. So then as a segula, I can undermine the need for the tzara to happen. And I find that so interesting. When you look at this, the Rishonim here, and the Achronim, in the beginning of this paragraph in Tehillim, so David HaMelech says, but tzarasoli, and Radak says, lerov tzara, when I am extremely embittered and troubled. And Malbim says, no, it doesn't have to be so extreme. But kol tzara, whenever I have troubles. Pinkus writes differently in the Sharon Batfila. He says, no, even before trouble comes, I should call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a segula to ward off the troubles so that I should not have the troubles. Certainly when we do have troubles in life, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we have to pray and we have to daven. But what is this kind of trouble that David HaMelech is calling out to God for? What is the tzara? What is this, according to Radak, this rov tzara, this tremendously difficult thing that is happening? So David HaMelech says, Pasuk Beis, Adonai hatzila nafshi misvat sheker milashon remia. God, save my soul misvat sheker milashon remia. From language of lying, from lies, and from lashon remia, and from deceitful speech. So if you look in Malbim, Malbim is very good at synonyms. Malbim is one of the things that Malbim likes to do. It's part of why I really like learning Malbim, is to take things that appear to be the same thing, appear to be just, you know, a poetic repetition of the same concept and idea, and explain why they are different from each other. Whenever you find words in Tanakh that appear to be synonymous with each other, Malbim is always a good place to look to see the fine distinctions between words that look like they mean the same thing. So Malbim here writes that sheker is lies and lashon hara that other people, they tell about you. Sheker is lies. Somebody is talking to somebody else, and they're talking about you, and they're spreading lies. That's sheker. Sheker, somebody tells lies to other people about you. Rimiya, deceitful speech, Malbim says, is when somebody is talking to you and they are being deceitful. Meaning, they'll say something to you, they say something to your face, when in reality, they're really trying to do something else. They're being deceitful specifically to you. So David HaMelech here writes, it's interesting, according to Malbim's interpretation, David HaMelech is writing that while in other tzaros, this is what Malbim says, in other tzaros, David HaMelech could wait until the tzara came upon him, wait until it comes. Here, Malbim says, when it comes to Sfat Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah, you have, David HaMelech needs to daven before the tzara comes. Oh, why that is, I'll explain in a few minutes as we move through. It's interesting, I find that, I think that we see that Jews and Israel in particular faces both of these enemies very clearly today. We could have written this today. We have on the one hand people who spread sheker. We have enemies who speak lies. They speak lies about us. You know, in Iran and whatever, people who deny the Holocaust, they deny our historical connection to the land of Israel. It's just sheker. They're not talking to us. They're talking to other people. They're spreading it to the world in general. It's sheker. Hashem atzila nafshi mitzvah sheker, to save us from people who lie. But you know what? We also have rimiyah. We also have people who claim to be friends. People who are claiming that they want to make peace with us. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's have discussions. We can make peace. Meanwhile, at the same time, plotting to destroy us, plotting to undermine us. That's Lashon Rimiyah. That's not the same thing. Sfat Sheker is lies. Lashon Rimiyah is deceit. They are not the same thing. These are enemies that we see in our world today. So David HaMelech saw similar things. David HaMelech says, Ma yitein lecha u'ma yosef lach lashon rimiyah. So what exactly this pasuk means, it's simple to translate the words, but exactly what it means, the Rishonim had significant amounts of debate. Ma yitein lecha u'ma yosef lach lashon rimiyah. What can we give you, and what can we add to you? Lashon Rimiyah, language of deceit. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi here says, Mayitim Lacha Kodesh Baruch Hu. What has God given you? What could God give you? What could God add to you? Rashi says, Mayosef Lach Shmira. What kind, this is what Rashi says, Shmira, guarding. What kind of protection? Look how God gave protection from Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah. Rashi says that deceitful speech is so dangerous, lies are so dangerous, that God added Shmira. God added protection against deceitful speech and against lies. That's what Rashi says, that God created the human body, that we should have teeth and we should have lips, defenses against speech that is hurtful and harmful. That's what Rashi here says. Ma'itin l'chol ma'yosef l'chol shon rimiyah. Look how God created the world. It's interesting that according to Rashi, right, we can see how dangerous deceitful speech and lies are because by looking at the way that God created the world, that God created us with protection against deceitful speech and lies, but it's not enough. But it's not enough. If you look in Meiri here writes something different. Meiri writes, Ma'yitin lecha ma'yosef lach lashon rimiyah. What do you get? What does it give you? Not what did God give to protect against deceitful speech, but what does deceitful speech give you? You being the person who's speaking it. Ma'yitin lecha ma'yosef lach lashon rimiyah. What is given to you by deceitful speech? It's interesting. Meiri writes that sometimes you tell lies about other people. Sometimes you deceive other people because you have what to gain. But that's not what David HaMelech is talking about, according to the Meiri. The Meiri says that sometimes you tell lies about other people. You deceive them just because. Because you're trying to hurt them. It's harmful to them. You're trying to hurt the other person, and so you lie to them, or you're deceitful to them. You trick them just because you're hurting the other person. So, ma'yitin l'chol ma'yosef lach lashon rimiyah. What is the gain here? What is the gain here? That's how Meiri understands the pasuk. If you look in Malbim, I'm sorry, not in Malbim. If you look in Rabbi Hirsch's interpretation, Rabbi Hirsch writes something different. Rabbi Hirsch says, no, sometimes there is gain. Sometimes there can be significant gain by lying to other people. Sometimes you can gain a lot by being deceitful to other people. Rabbi Hirsch writes that illicit gains are not enduring. Things that you gain with lie and deceit will not be things that will endure. They will not be things that you will be able to keep. So, ma'yitim l'chol ma'yosef lach lashon rimiyah. If you look big picture, Rabbi Hirsch says that the things that you gain illicitly in this world are not things that you will be able to hold on to. And in the end of the day, you will have less for lying and achieving things via deceitful practices. And why is that so? So I'm staying with Rabbi Hirsch. Rashi says though the same thing. Chitzei gibor shinunim im gachlei risamim. Rashi's second interpretation, he writes it at the end, Rabbi Hirsch says, because God, chitzei gibor shinunim im gachlei risamim, because God is sharpening, his arrows. He has his arrows, and God has his coals, meaning that God is preparing retribution for people who treat others with lies and with deceit. So you don't gain in the end with deceit and with chicanery, Rabbi Hirsch says, because God has his arrows, God has his coals, God is preparing to shoot, to burn, retribution for those who make illicit gains. That's why we don't gain with it. If you look here in Malbim's interpretation, he writes something very interesting. Malbim writes that chitzei gibor shinunim, that the arrows of strong soldiers, in gachalei resamim, and coals, they represent two different ways that harmful speech is really, really hurtful. The first is like an arrow. It's like a chetz. Right? The Malbim says that this is parallel to the sheker. What did we say the sheker is in Malbim's understanding? The sheker is lies. People who are talking to other people, they're not talking to you, they're talking to other people, but they're telling lies. So that is like the chetz. A chetz is an arrow. You shoot an arrow from very far away. You don't need to be close in combat to hurt somebody with an arrow. You can shoot an arrow from a great distance away. So you tell lies about other people. You can harm and hurt them from very far away. You don't need to be up close. You're not talking to the person that you're talking about. You're talking to somebody else. But with lies, you can hurt them from afar. But a coal is different. A coal is something that burns you when you touch it. The coal hurts you when you're close. Gachalei resamim, if you look here in the Rishonim, the reason why David HaMelech talks about this specific type of coal, the coal from the resem, I don't know what kind of tree that is. I didn't look it up. But so Radak here says that it burns for a very long time. That's what Radak says. But if you look in Rashi, Malam here follows the same approach. Apparently, the way that this coal burns is that it remains hot on the inside, even when on the outside, it looks as if it's cooled down. Meaning you'll look at it from the outside and you will not see that the coal is hot. You'll think that it's cool. You'll think that it is safe to pick it up. But then when you pick it up, you realize that the coal is really, really hot inside. The problem is you've already picked it up and it's burned your hand. So that this gacheles, the gachalei resamim, is representative, Malvin says, of the rimia, of the chicanery, of the deceit, of people who talk to you and make it seem as if everything is good and fine. Meanwhile, they stab you in the back and they're plotting against you. It looks like it's safe on the outside, but on the inside is very, very dangerous. So chitzei gibor shinunim, Malbim says that David HaMelech is going back. Hashem atzila nafshi mismat sheker. God, save me from lies, because they are just like chitzei gibor shinunim. They are just like arrows, people shooting them from afar, very distant, cannot see them, but very, very hurtful. Im gachalei resamim, just like coals, going back to the Lashon Rimiya, people who are tricking us, people who are being deceitful for us. It looks safe. I think it's okay. I'm going to continue down this path, and then by the time I pick it up, it's already too late. My hand is already burned, and I realize that really people were just trying to trick, and people were just trying to fool us. Now, Oya, most Rishonim understood that Oya here means woe, like from the root word Oy, Aleph Vav Yud. Oyali Kigarti Meshech. You know, so woe is to me that I have dwelled. Now, the word meshech is an interesting word, and the Rishonim understood it differently. Most of the Rishonim understood that meshech here is a reference to a nation, to a people, and that shachanti imo'ale kedar, right, garti meshech, shachanti imo'ale kedar, is talking about being in the exile amongst two different groups, meshech and kedar. So if you look in the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim write that Meshech is being a reference to Edom, and Kedar is a reference to Yishmael. That is what most of the Rishonim write. And most of the Rishonim write that David HaMelech here makes specific reference to Edom and to Yishmael, because that is where most of the Golos would take place. Most of the Golos would take place either underneath the auspices, the rule of Edom, or underneath the auspices and the rule of Yishmael. And so that's why David HaMelech here says, Oyali ki garti meshech shachanti imo'ale kedar. Woe is to me, because I have been dwelling amongst the people of Edom and dwelling amongst the people of Yishmael. That is what the majority of the Rishonim understood. If you look, however, you see some interesting, different interpretations. If you look in the Radak, So the Radak writes that Meshech is not a nation, it's not a people. It's from the word like Mashach, to pull something, to stretch something out, to elongate something. So that David HaMelech says, Oyali ki garti Meshech. Woe is to me that our Geirus, that our wanderings have been elongated, that the Golus has been so long, Shachanti Emoale Kedar, and we are dwelling in the Golus amongst the Bnei Yishmael. And then Radak asks, yes, why is it that David HaMelech only talks about Yishmael, and he does not talk about Edom? That's what Radak asks. And so Radak answers that David HaMelech only talks about Yishmael and not about Edom, because most of the Golus would be with Yishmael. That's really interesting. Radak thinks that most of the Golus would be with Yishmael and not with Edom. I was thinking that perhaps, maybe, I don't know, but maybe it could be that David HaMelech mentions Yishmael specifically in this context because David HaMelech knew that the Golus of Yishmael was going to be a battle of Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah. It would be a battle in the media. It would be a battle of propaganda. David HaMelech perhaps knew Beruach Kodesho, that the battle of Yishmael would contain a strong element of Sfas Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah. And maybe that's why David HaMelech writes, Oyeli Kigarti Meshech, Shachanti Moalei Kedar, specifically with reference to this battle against lies and deceit, David HaMelech makes reference to the Golos of Yishmael. Maybe, according to Radak's interpretation, we could suggest such a thing. Mitsudos writes here something that is really interesting. Mitsudos here writes that, Oyali, woe is to me, Kigarti Meshech, Shachanti Melei Kedar, woe is to me that I'm in the Golos for so long. And why am I in the Golos for so long? So Mitsudos David writes, I'm in the Golos for so long because we are speaking Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah. He sort of flips the paragraph a little bit. Most of the Rishonim and the Achronim understand that David HaMelech is talking about Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah that's being spoken about us, Sheker being spoken about us, and Rimiyah, deceit that's being perpetrated against us. But Mitsudos writes that Oyali Kigarti Meshech Shachanti Melei Kedar, woe is to us that we have been in the Golus for so long because we continue to speak lies and we continue to be deceitful. We are not being true, not to ourselves and not to other people, and that is why the Golus is being elongated. Mitsudos writes, it's interesting, Eich lo ekach musar. How do I not get the hint? How do I not get the lesson? Haloza gavar asher ba'avura ha'yisi ba'gola. Isn't this the reason why we are in the Golos? That David HaMelech throws in a hint of Musar in the paragraph, that the woe is to us because we continue to be deceitful, which is elongating the Golos, perhaps one of the reasons why we have it in the first place. Rabbi Hirsch believes that the word oya here does not come from the root word ayin vav yud, oy, meaning woe, but from the root word aleph vav hey, meaning to wish, to want something, to wish for something. Aleph vav hey, so that Rabbi Hirsch believes that oyali kigarti meshech, right, shachanti moalei kedar, is David HaMelech saying, I wish that I could live with Meshech and Kedar. Rabbi Hirsch writes that these specifically meant to not represent Edom and Yishmael, but to represent nomadic tribes. And so that David HaMelech is saying, I wish that I can get away from all of these people who I'm living amongst, all of these people who are spreading lies and deceit. I wish I could just get out of civilization and live like the nomads, by myself, where I wouldn't have to deal with all of these kinds of issues. It's interesting. It's almost reminiscent of the Rambam in the Laws of Deos. I think it's Perek Vav, where the Rambam describes how if a person feels that the town, the city, the country, whatever it is, you know, that they're living in is not living appropriately, so then they should just get out, go live in the caves, in the mountains. And so here Rabbi Hirsch writes that David HaMelech has a very similar wish. If only I could just get out of civilization and go dwell like the nomads, where I wouldn't have to deal with all of the deceit and the politics and the chicanery. I wouldn't have to deal with that. Oh, that would be amazing. So David HaMelech then says, Rabbas Shachna La Nafshi Im Sonei Shalom, for way too long. We've been living amongst people who hate peace. It's really interesting, this phrase that David HaMelech uses, Sonei Shalom, people who don't want peace, people who are not interested in peace. People are interested only in victory. People are interested only in winning, in putting the other person down. Like the Meiri said, Mayitein lacha, Mayosef lacha, Shon Rimiya. They're just interested in putting the other person down. They're not interested in peace. They're not interested in living with others. Rapa shachna la nafshim sonei shalom. For way too long, we've been living with such people. Ani shalom. Ani shalom v'chiyad aber, right? We are peaceful. We want peace. V'chiyad aber, Rashi says, aleihem shalom. When I speak peace, when I talk for peace, when I negotiate for peace, that's all I want. Heim ala milchama. They are preparing for war. It's interesting. Malvin writes, it would be better if they would just attack. If they would just attack physically, it would be better. Because then we would be able to defend ourselves. Then we would be able to fight. We would see them coming. We would know. We would fight. But since they take this duplicitous track, this duplicitous attack, Lashon Rimiyah, this chicanery, so then I don't know when to attack. I don't know. I don't know if really they mean peace or if really they're just trying to trick me. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know. It creates confusion. So v'chiyad ani shalom v'chiyad aber heima l'milchama, that when I'm speaking peacefully and I don't know if they're plotting war or not, that's why David HaMelech has to write in Malvim's interpretation that in all other troubles el Hashem batzarasali karasi v'ya'aneini, that when I had difficulties and trouble I could see them, I could call out to God and God would respond and God would answer me. But Hashem atzila nafshi mitzvah sheker milashon remiyah, but when it comes to deceit and chicanery, so I don't know. I don't know if I need to call out to God. I don't know if these people are really trying to be peaceful or not. And so God, just please, please, God, please help me. God, please provide salvation. That is Tehillim Kuf Chaf. I find it encouraging and yet frustrating, knowing that David HaMelech had some of the very same struggles that we deal with and we see in our lifetimes. We have to learn the lessons from David HaMelech. We have to learn to guard against Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah, like the Mitsudo says, to take the Musar, to be honest, honest with ourselves about what life is about, honest with ourselves about what we're doing here, what we can accomplish, and how we should be spending every moment of every day. Not to fool or deceive ourselves. Sometimes the Sheker is what we tell ourselves, not what we tell other people. Sometimes the Lashon Rimiyah is what we tell ourselves and not what we tell other people. Sometimes we have to be honest. Sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with other people to think about really what is our goal in life, what is our purpose, and what is our mission. To be honest with ourselves, to learn the Musar that David HaMelech perhaps giving us according to Mitsudos' interpretation, and to daven for Hashem for protection according to the majority interpretation that you find in the Rishonim and Achronim. To daven to Hashem to protect us from those who tell lies, from those who speak deceitfully, from those who try to undermine us, from those who are plotting against us in difficult times. El Adonai Batsarasali. When times are dark, when times are hard, we call out to Hashem, Karasi Vaya'aneini. We call out to Hashem and Hashem responds and Hashem answers. I pray that God hear us together calling out from our difficult times and that God responds to our Torah and to our tefillah. And I pray that response is Refuah Shleima Bekarov, Rav Gabriel Pichos, Bedvor Zlata, Refuah Sanefesh, Refuah Sagov, Hashda Bagola Uvizman Karev.